College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Into the corner, athletic catch by Swope. Turns the corner, into the lane, kicks to McCautry, drive and kick for Swope. Bang! Swope Show!
Amari did a great job, drew the defense with that attack and left Swope Show wide open.
Paulie's a great name.
Oh, Paulie.
What'd you do for Paulie? Anything?
Me, Paulie. I was responsible.
Paulie, we're here because of you.
That's a big win for the Billikens, a comeback win. They do it on the road against UMass yesterday, 73-71 final. You heard it right here on KMOX. It is the home of Billikens basketball. Also here, some women's basketball as well. And it is time to bring in our sports fella who joins us every Monday and Wednesday on KMOX after 11:30. It is Matt Pauley. Hello, Matt.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing great. So that's a nice comeback win for the Billikens, they lost the game against Dayton last Friday, but still that's a good rebound win for them.
That's a great win to be down like they were with, 20 seconds left, and to go on that quick run there at the end. Fantastic way to win a basketball game. This is a flawed team, but almost every college basketball team is flawed, especially when you're talking about Atlantic 10 teams. But man, for them to show what they showed last night in character and just not giving up, that was a really fun finish, and good on the Billikens for finding a way to win.
Hey Matt, why do you think Robbie Avila has just been struggling a bit? Obviously had the injury at the beginning of the year, but came back. It's not anything lingering from that, is it? Just struggling?
I don't know if I'd say struggling. I guess maybe he's not having the impact that you thought he might have, but I think teams are really focusing in on him. He's still impacting the team in a lot of other ways. Coach Church talked about this on the coach's show, I think, a couple weeks ago when I was listening to him, Avila's got to be able to be more aggressive going to the basket. So often he's trying to help out his teammates. He had the 4 assists last night, but he only gets 3 shots off. So, that's where I think you look at and say, what's going on? Him becoming a little bit more aggressive because of the way teams are defending him, I think that's a thing. And not often do you talk about trying to get a guy to be a shoot-first type guy, not a pass-first guy, but in many ways, sometimes it feels like Avila's trying to set up his teammates more than just doing what he can do to score. So I think he's still impacting the game in a lot of ways. But from a scoring standpoint, Amy, yeah, he is definitely struggling.
Isaiah Swope, though, the other newcomer that they got from Indiana State, he played well, had a really good one last night.
Yeah, 20 points, hit 4 3-pointers. That's a good night all the way around. If you're only going to get 6 points out of Avila, you need Swope and Jimerson to step up offensively, and that's what they got. They got 20 from Swope. They got 18 from Jimerson, and that's what helped allow them to find a way to win the game. Rebounding wise, it was a pretty good day. They had 27 rebounds. So they out-rebound UMass last night, 27-20. 11 of their rebounds were offensive rebounds that allowed them to get to 10 second chance points. So there's when you look at this box score and you watch the game, I think there's a lot of numbers that are really interesting that all add up to a big Billikens victory.
And I will just say, not important, but Isaiah Swope is such a great basketball name. I love the name Isaiah Swope.
It is good.
It's a good one.
Swope is a good name.
He swopes it.
Wow.
It does sound like the past tense of swipe.
Yeah, it sounds like a verb.
It does.
So Matt, in order to make the tournament, they're going to have to win the A-10 tournament. That's a fact, right? So looking at the rest of the league, you never really know how a conference tournament is going to go, but do you believe that this team has enough to put a real run together by the time they get there, start playing well leading into it, and then maybe maybe actually win that thing?
I think they've got a puncher's chance. You look at the league, And I think you look at the top four teams in the league, and that does include SLU along with, you know, VCU, who they split with. Dayton's right there as well. And then George Mason is 8-1 so far in league play. I'm not a total buyer-inner on George Mason quite yet, but the record is what their record is. And they're going to match up against the Billikens in St. Louis on February 11th. So that's going to be a huge game. They still have to go to VCU. They still have to go to Richmond. So they've got some losses left on their schedule. But I think SLU's got a puncher's chance to win it just right along there with VCU, Dayton, and George Mason. Those are the four teams that I think are the class of the league right now in the A-10.
Matt, speaking of the record is what the record is, the Blues are not looking good. It's not moving in the right direction for them. I mean, they lost in overtime last night, and Connor McDavid is extraordinary.
That guy
is good. But it's been a lot of frustration the past couple of weeks for the St. Louis Blues at a time when you really needed to get on track to make that playoff push.
Yeah, 100%. And when you've got an opportunity to win a game right now, especially at home, you have to win it. They're in a period right now where they're playing six straight at home. Now, it wraps around the Four Nations break, so there is some time. But they're not going to play another road game until February 27th. So, essentially, they are going from February 2nd to February 27th, almost an entire month without playing a single road game. It's going to be six straight home games. This is it. You got to make hay here. And they have not been able to be especially successful at home this year for whatever reason. And if they don't find a way to, now there's five more to go, if they don't find a way to win a bunch of these, I think you look at it and say this, it's, you know, playoffs just not in the cards this year.
So the big game, the Super Bowl, it happens on Sunday, Chiefs and Eagles. Of course, a lot of people here in this area are Chiefs fans, and the Super Bowl week is, it's, I think it's a fun week. There are some events that are kind of stupid. A lot of players get asked very silly questions. But, you know, you're leading up to the biggest sporting event in the country. Do you have any particular feel on the game itself as we're still a few days out?
I think it's going to be a really good game. I think the Eagles roster is actually a better roster than the Chiefs roster, but I think the Chiefs have the better head coach, the better defensive coordinator, the better quarterback, and that kind of evens things out. I think the Chiefs end up winning just because they win these games, and until they don't, I'm going to have a hard time picking against them. But on paper, this looks like one heck of a football game.
Let me ask you about
it helps to turn your mic.
Yeah, it does. I pushed the button twice, and it still didn't do anything. Everything.
User error.
You think with our
well,
you think with our technical department,
it's a toss-up.
Yeah,
really,
it's let's just well, say it.
As someone who stands at that microphone, I can tell you very often do I press the on mic button, and it just doesn't turn on.
Yeah, it's
so. I got you.
Everything's fine in here, Matt. Everything's fine. No problems. There was a story today that it looks like the NFL is pushing for a game in Ireland. They have games in Brazil, in London they've been playing. They've played in Germany. So now they're going to play in Ireland, it appears, and it might get announced before the weekend is over. What are your thoughts on the NFL continuing to expand?
They were always, that was part of them going to the 17-game schedule. It gave them the opportunity to play more international games. They want to own everything everywhere, so they are going to go international to any place that they feel like that they can have success, and they keep having success. They have success with London. They've had success. You know, the Brazil game this past year was a rousing success. Like, everywhere they go, people want to experience it and see it, and it's opportunity to create more and more revenue, which there is no entity out there that's better at creating revenue than the National Football League. So I don't have a problem with it. Now, if we're at some point, we're going to get to a place where there's going to be legitimate consideration about a team actually being in another country. Yeah. And I'm not talking about Toronto or Mexico, where it's connected to the United States, but where you've got a very long flight across an ocean. And I think at that point we need to pump the brakes a little bit on just what the impact is going to be with travel and things like that. But as far as running these neutral site games all over the world, yeah, I'm fine with it.
All right. And are you fine with then the idea of adding another regular season game? There's been a lot of talk about it for months and months. Like you said, they added to now have 17. Looks like they're looking at 18 for a regular season schedule. How do you feel about that then?
Yeah, I think then they would go down to two preseason games in all likelihood. They have to. And nobody really likes the preseason that much. Now, I think the preseason does serve a purpose, so you got to be a little bit careful on what you do there. But I'm fine with it. The NFL is the most watchable thing. That it doesn't matter who's playing. If it's on TV, you can just turn it on, watch it. I don't know. It's fine. I'm a sports fan, and I'm not going to get upset by them adding another game.
I guess I feel like with just the intensity of the game and adding a single season game, a regular season game, and removing a preseason game, to me, it's not an equal exchange.
No.
You're going to have all your starters in that regular season game. They're going to get beaten up. That wouldn't necessarily happen in a preseason game. I'm concerned that it's not in the best interest of the players to add another game when we are seeing star players, quarterbacks, drop like flies throughout the regular season.
Yeah, I can't disagree with what you just said, but they've never worried about players' health and safety, and if they want to start worrying about player health and safety, then yeah, let's not add games. But if you're that's not their top thing. I sound like a really cold-hearted person right now in the way that I'm saying this, but they're going to add another game, and there is nobody can argue that the NFL cares about health and safety of players if they do that.
All right, and there's one other football thing, which this is one that, my God, I can't believe they don't do it already, and it needs to get done because it is absolute madness how they do it right now. But they are considering, according to a Washington Post report from earlier in the week, they are considering using technology to measure first downs as opposed to using the stupid chains. So it could potentially happen during the 2025 season. This is the right thing, right? They have to do this.
Yeah, and so look, there's going to be issues with it. There's always going to be, when was the knee down, things like that. Do they put sensors into the pads of players to be able to, compare or something? I don't know. But most plays, especially if you just use it from a – it's the right thing to do. There's going to be some kinks. You got to work through the kinks. But it's going to be better than chains and a couple guys that are, hoping that they get it right.
The chain is 10 yards. We know that.
Yeah.
But the spot of the first chain is everything. It's just such a dumb system. I can't believe they do it still with all the technology we have. So I'm glad they're probably getting away from it.
Still use human eyes and technology to complement each other.
Yeah.
This is not related to football because the technology is right overwhelmingly, right? But really interesting in this most recent Australian Open, they have automatic... I think it's called Hawkeye, the tech system that calls in and out with the balls.
Yep.
And Naomi Osaka was playing, and the ball, the trigger didn't light up to say that the ball was out, so they called it in. And she's like, that ball was out. And the line judge is like, no, we saw it differently, and also the technology doesn't trigger. The ball was in. And she even indicated it was out by this much because she's such an elite athlete. They went back and looked at it on the camera, and it was out exactly the amount that she had said.
Yeah.
And like I said, I am not using this to diss technology because we need technology. I'm just saying that was a way that the cameras, right, the human eye and technology worked together or could work together to make the right call.
It's kind of like the automated strike zone. My take on that has always been the moment that the automated strike zone is going to get a higher percentage of calls correct compared to human umpires, you go to it right then. It doesn't matter if it's 100% or 99.9% or 99.8%. If human umpires are getting 80% of the calls right and the technology gets 80.1%, then you're taking a step forward. So if the if the going to a some sort of laser or technology-based reading of first downs, if that gets it right 89% of the time and humans get it right 88%, you go to it. You don't worry about the fact that it's still not almost 100%.
What's the old saying? Don't let perfect be the enemy of good?
Yeah.
There you go. Anytime you get a chance to improve, do it. Matt Pauly, Sports Open Line tonight?
Tonight, 6 to 8. I think this is our only full two-hour show this week.
Oh, yeah. Got a lot going on.
A lot going on.
Thanks, Matt. We'll talk next week.
We will not talk on Monday. I will be in the air.
Oh, and we just talked about that, Matt. Next week on Valentine's Day, you can be having a dinner with your honey. Not you, but I mean anyone could be having a dinner with their honey and saying, guess what? Spring training game next week.
Yeah. Doesn't that stink for my wife that she never gets Valentine's Day with me because I'm always in Florida for spring training?
Well, can you remake it up?
It's not the same.
I'll just do it's just as good. Just do a Zoom. Yeah.
Yeah. Zoom. It's the same.
Zoom Valentine's
you
Day.
You light a candle in your hotel room. She can light a candle and you can pretend like you're eating the same meal.
I can send an emoji.
Yeah, send her an emoji. And that's all you need to do. Nothing else. Thanks, Matt.
You bet.
Yo, Paulie, your sister's with me. I'll call you back later. See ya.
What if all first dates should be Zoom?
Well, it's even better than that. We talked to the New York Times tech reporter. All first dates can be a clone of you dating another clone on a computer system, and you can see if it would have worked out.
That's kind of like the when you play Madden, you can just FIFA, any of those games, you can play out the schedule, like they just simulate it.
Huh?
I'm into that for a date. Sure. Hey, by the way, did you know that this is... I'm going to tell you about it when we come back.
Okay.
Because it's a thing I just found out today, and I'm stunned by it.
Late to Chris, the party?
Oh, well, that's another thing, too. Oh, I got a couple of things to tell you about. Chris and Amy on KMOX.